Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Monitoring Data Power Revisited, ITCAM for SOA 7.2, ITCAM Agent for Data Power 7.1, and WAMC 5.0. Today's presenters are Doreen Yelton, Yun Wilson, and Philip Johnson. Yun, Phil, and Doreen are teammates on the IBM Data Power support team. They help customers with data power issues, specializing in issues involving integration with IBM Tivoli products for monitoring and managing data power appliances. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Doreen. You may begin.
Hey, thanks, David. Welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today. We entitled this webcast Monitoring Data Power Revisited because it's an update to a 2012 webcast where we covered some earlier releases of this same product set, and we got feedback asking about changes that were introduced in new versions of the software, and kind of felt like last year's webcast was causing some confusion, so we felt like we should come back and talk about the products again and introduce some more debugging tips. So speaking of confusion, our emails are all listed on this front page. If you have questions that you think of after this broadcast, feel free to email us. Just notice that I made a typo and I left the dot out of Yun's email address. It should be us.ibm. Can we go to page two, please? So page two just shows our agenda for today. We're going to talk about the changes in the software between 2012 and today, and then go over some sample issues for each of the products, the ITCAM agent that monitors data power health, the appliance management product, WAMC, or WebSphere Appliance Management, and the services management product, ITCAM for SOA. Slide three, please. So slide three is just taken from our webcast from 2012. We did the webcast in April, and then we added the versions of the products that were available at that time. So WAMC version 4 was out, and it communicated to Data Power using SOAP requests to the Data Power XML management interface. The ITCAM agent for Data Power version 6.3 was available with WAMC version 4 as a free product with WAMC, and it talked to Data Power over SNMP both to pull health statistics and for Data Power to send traps to the agent. And then the ITCAM for SOA data collector and agent talked to Data Power using SOAP as well, hitting the XML management interface as well. We didn't talk about it last year, but there was a comma-separated value format in the data that went from Data Power over to the ITCAM for SOA agent. So this is what the product set looked like last year. And now we'll go to slide four, please, and my teammate, Yun Wilson, will show us some of the changes that have happened in the past year.
Thank you, Doreen. Here we show the product versions and Tivoli agent releases that have shipped since Doreen's last webcast. WAMC version 5 became available in June of 2012. This version of WAMC is available at no charge and is supported for free for all customers who are entitled to the Data Power support. If the requirement for monitoring is standalone monitoring of only the health of the Data Power appliances, then the free offering that comes with WAMC is sufficient. However, Data Power is not a standalone solution. It's part of a larger application environment. If the monitoring objective is to take responsibility for performance and availability for that application environment, then the ITCAM for Applications product, now called Smart Cloud Application Performance Management, is the right choice for monitoring. Since WAMC 5.0 shipped, there have been three additional releases of WAMC that have become available. An example of one of those new features, which shipped in the September release, is the ability to group appliances and to filter on these groups so that you can take actions repeatedly on the same set of resources. For a complete list of the enhancements shipped, you can search the WAMC Information Center on What's New. the resources page at the end of this presentation has a link to that information center. Data Power version 5 also became available in June of 2012. One of the new features provided with this support in regards to the ITCAM SOA support is the ability to turn off the web services management support. The WSM agent monitors all web service proxy services by default, but you can disable monitoring for one of these services by going to the Proxy Settings tab when you're configuring these services. The ITCAM for SOA 7.2 agent became available in November of 2012. With this release, the format of the data path from Data Power to the ITCAM SOA data collector changes from the comma-separated values that Doreen mentioned to an XML format. We'll talk more about this later in the presentation. The ITCAM agent for Data Power 7.1 also became available in November 2012. Some of the new features include monitoring of the agent and domain status, as well as monitoring utilization data like memory and CPU for the Data Power XC10 appliance. Slide 5, please. This diagram is very similar to the diagram that Doreen showed you on slide 3. The releases have been updated to reflect the new releases that are available now. This doesn't mean that WAMC version 5 only works with Data Power version 5. WAMC 5 works with the earlier supported versions of Data Power. This also doesn't imply that Data Power version 5 only works with the ITCAM SOA 7.2 data collector. Data Power version 5 can work with the 7.1 ITCAM SOA support, and the 7.2 data collector can work with earlier supported versions of Data Power. The key changes to note are that the 7.1 ITCAM agent uses the XML management interface instead of SNMP to pull the utilization data. However, the alerts that are sent for the trap events still uses SNMP. Another change shown in the diagram, as mentioned earlier, is the metric data pulled by the ITCAM SOA 7.2 data collector is in XML format instead of the comma-separated value format. Slide 6, please. Now we're going to go over some troubleshooting tips for some sample issues. This is the agenda of the troubleshooting topics we'll be covering for each of the products. For Data Power monitoring, some of the tips that Doreen provided in earlier webcasts still apply. For monitoring with the ITCAM agent for Data Power, also known as the BN agent, troubleshooting is different with the 7.1 support because of the use of the XML management interface instead of the SNMP to pull the utilization data. We'll cover how to debug issues where an SNMP version 3 trap fails with the code shown. With the WAMC support, we'll point you to a red book which has a troubleshooting chapter that covers common issues you may run into. We'll also walk you through how to use WAMC to copy a domain from one application to another, one appliance to another. For the services management support using ITCAM for SOA, also known as the KD4 agent, we'll talk about the data that's exchanged between Data Power and ITCAM for SOA. On the Data Power appliance, there's an XML schema file that's located in the store directory under the schemas folder named dp-wsm-agent-append that documents this interface data. There's a correction here. The WSM.xsd should say schemas because we want to point to the schemas folder. We'll cover a debug option that will allow you to see the data that's pulled from the WSM buffer by the ITCAM SOA data collector. We'll also talk about how to debug issues with the client ID, which is one of the values in the interface data. And now my colleague, Phil Johnson, will cover debugging some sample data power monitoring issues, starting with slide 7.
Thanks, Jan. The BN 7.1 agent communicates with Data Power through SOAP requests to the XML management interface and SNMP alerts from the Data Power device. This section covers troubleshooting of the SOAP management interface. When all is working as it is supposed to, these charts will be populated with bars that represent data from each BN agent. As we can see by the flowchart at the bottom of the slide, the BN agent uses SOAP requests to pull data from the DataPower XML management interface. This data is then passed from the BN agent into TEP, where it is displayed in these bar charts. The best indication that there is a problem would be that there is no bar charts displayed in TEP. These points of analysis are the most common places that we in support begin to troubleshoot. Slide 8, please. As we discussed, the BN agent sends SOAP requests to DataPower's XML management interface in order to pull for the data which is used to populate the bar charts in TEP. Some customers choose to configure the XML management interface on DataPower with custom certificates. As we can see in this screen capture, DataPower uses something called an SSL proxy profile to manage custom certificates. The BN agent is configured to use DataPower's default certificates and will need to be set up to recognize the custom certificates being used on DataPower in order to communicate via SSL. If the BN agent is configured incorrectly, we typically see exceptions such as these in the BN agent logs. We have included a tech note at the bottom of this slide. This describes how to set up the BN agent to use the custom certificates defined in the XML management interface's SSL proxy profile. Slide 9, please. Again, the BN agent is using SOAP requests to pull DataPower for status data. So another way to test that the XML management interface is working correctly would be to manually send a sample request to see if it returns a valid response. Here in the lab, we use curl when testing services on DataPower, which sends a simple HTTP or HTTPS request to DataPower. In this example, the SOAP request is sent to retrieve the WSM agent status by the file name wsm-mgmt-wsm-status.xml, which is listed as the payload for the curl command. Slide 10, please. If we are able to confirm that the SSL proxy profile settings are correct, and the XML management interface is working correctly, but we are still not seeing data displayed in the bar charts in TEP, we can review the BN agent logs for further clues to the origin of the problem. As shown in these steps, the logging level for the BN agent logs can be increased to gain further depth into the BN agent's connection attempts. There is an INI file, which can be configured to enable the logging level for the BN agent. This file is located in the ITM config directory. Change the logging level to debug max and review the trace log for related errors. The trace log can be identified as KBN, the agent name, then trace.log. In this example, the BN agent was successfully pulling DataPower. However, the name for the TEP was incorrectly configured. Therefore, the data was not able to be passed into TEP, resulting in a sad and empty bar chart. Slide 11, please. As we saw earlier, the BN 7.1 agent communicates with DataPower through SOAP requests to the management interface and SNMP alerts from the DataPower device. SNMP alerts are sent from DataPower to the BN agent as notifications of user-defined specific events which may happen on DataPower. These alerts are passed from the BN agent into TEP for display in the form of text. This section covers the review and testing of SNMP configuration for troubleshooting SNMP alerts which are not being shown in TEP. When there are SNMP configuration errors on DataPower, the DataPower logs will typically display an ambiguous SNMP error message, which simply says SNMP as shown here in red. However, we will review three of the most common configuration errors which are typically result in this kind of error message. We will then review how to test SNMP alerts from DataPower. Slide 12, please. SNMP version 3 must be configured on DataPower to a specific user, as shown here by the user Phil. The destination and security of SNMP alerts is defined within the SNMP configuration settings on DataPower, more specifically under the Trap and Notifications Targets tab. The first common mistake in SNMP configuration on DataPower is to use a different security name than that of the SNMP version 3 username. This will also happen if the security name is left blank. I would like to add that SNMP version 3 does not use communities. It uses contacts. So by default, DataPower adds the community called public within the trap and notification target. Slide 13, please. The DataPower user specified within the SNMP configuration must have SNMP version 3 credentials defined in order to send SNMP alerts to the BN agent. The example shows that SNMP version 3 users must define an authentication secret and a privacy secret. Over here on the right is an example of a BN agent I configured for testing in our lab environment. In order for the BN agent to receive the SNMP version 3 alerts, the authentication and privacy secret defined on DataPower must match the authentication and privacy secret configured on the BN agent. If these values do not match, the ambiguous SNMP error message will be displayed in the DataPower logs. Slide 14, please. If the SNMP configuration looks correct and the alerts are still not showing up in TEP, this must-gather technique contains detailed steps for setting up an SNMP log target, which can be used to send test traps. If working correctly, the process value for the logging target status will increase with every trap sent. Another way to actually see SNMP alerts leaving data power on the wire is by starting a packet capture and testing again. Also, some customers have reported seeing SNMP alerts leave data power through an unwanted Ethernet interface. This issue is typically caused by because of multiple default routes configured on DataPower's routing table. This tech note at the bottom of the slide here gives more detail on the best practices in configuring DataPower's routing table. And now my teammate Dorian will present DataPower utilization monitoring techniques for the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Slide 15, please.
So on slide 15, we've got a little word from our sponsor, DataPower Support, injected into our presentation because Yun and Phil and I all work in DataPower Support. And when our customers use the ITCAM agent for DataPower, the BN agent that Phil was just talking about, it helps us work with customers on memory issues. At the end of the presentation, there's a list of resources specific to the products that we're talking about today, and there's also a link to the WebSphere Technical Exchange page. And when you go to WebSphere, the Technical Exchange page, you can use the left navigator to filter and just see the DataPower presentation. So you can see that in April, the DataPower support team had an Ask the Expert session, and in August of last year, there was a really great troubleshooting DataPower appliances presentation. And in that presentation, they talked about how to troubleshoot memory management issues on DataPower. One example of memory management on DataPower is there's a feature called the throttle. That can be configured to start rejecting requests coming into DataPower when the memory on DataPower gets to a certain threshold. The default is 80%. So DataPower, when memory usage gets pretty high at 80%, will start throttling or rejecting requests. And then there's another threshold you can configure where DataPower will restart if memory usage reaches that threshold, which is a default of 95%. So when customers encounter an issue where the throttle was engaged and started rejecting traffic or restarting the appliance, they need to work through that, because if that occurs in a production environment, that might have meant an outage for them in production. So we can use error reports from DataPower to understand that the throttle engaged, but we often, I should say always, we need a baseline of what memory has looked like on the appliance to understand if what occurred was a sudden spike in memory or a slow increase in memory over time or a reaction to sudden volume, you know, a lot of requests coming in all at once. And the ITCAM agent for DataPower helps provide that kind of information. Usually when you look at the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you see the memory usage or utilization for a point in time, but you can configure historical data collection using the steps shown on this slide. So there's an icon shown in blue. It's on the top right of our chart, but it's actually on the top left in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. And when you hover over it, it says Historical Collection Configuration. So when you click on that, it shows a list of monitored applications that you can configure for historical data collection. And Data Power Monitoring is in that list. When you choose it, you kind of see something on the screen that looks like what's in the center right of the screen. And then on the left, you'll see a list of the attributes that that the IPCAM agent collects from Data Power, and one of those is memory. So if you select memory, you can use this simple setup here just to collect 14 days worth of detailed data. So if you encounter a throttle issue, you can look back 14 days and understand, was memory fine right up until the problem occurred, or has memory usage been increasing over time? Also, if you right-click on Data Power Monitoring, you'll see the window on the right-hand side where it lists your appliances that you're monitoring, and you move them from the right pane to the left pane in order to say you want to monitor memory and collect historical data for that appliance. Slide 16, please. Slide 16 shows how to look at the data once you've configured historical data collection. So the utilization data in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is one of the selections in the navigation section that's on the left side of the portal. So first you select utilization in that navigator, and then you right-click and select memory usage workspace. From there, there's a little icon that looks like a clock in front of a calendar, and when you select that, you'll get the window that's shown on the right side of this slide that lets you select a time period that you want to see historical data for. And then once you see that, once you select that, you'll see the graph that's kind of shown in the background here on this slide. So here, this graph is kind of boring because the memory is kind of flat, which is what you kind of want to see in a good case, right, where memory is kind of consistent. But in the case where you've encountered an issue like a throttle where the appliance restarted or started rejecting traffic, you'll see something different, you know, a sudden spike in the graph, or the graph values climbing over time, and that'll help us work with you in analyzing what's going on the appliance. Okay, and we're going to go to slide 17 now, and Phil's going to talk again, but this time about appliance management.
Thanks, Doreen. Since the last presentation, version 5 of WAMC has been released and is quite different from the previous version. WAMC's intended use is to manage multiple Data Power appliances from one user interface in order to avoid having to log in and out of several appliances. This slide covers some of the common problems reported by customers using WAMC and where to find information to help troubleshoot these issues. WAMC requires that secure backup be enabled on the Data Power device in order to perform its secure backup function. Other common issues are described in the WAMC Red Book, which was released earlier this year in April. Slide 18, please. Here we show an example of copying a domain from one Data Power appliance to another appliance. In this example, I wanted to copy Phil's domain from the appliance VERT3A to the appliance VERT2A. By highlighting the VERT2A appliance and selecting Create Domain from the Other Actions tab at the top of the screen, I then name my new domain to be the same as the one on the VERT3A appliance. Slide 19, please. This slide is part 4 to my example, where I am now given the option to select the domain configuration from a domain of the same name on another device. As planned, my new domain name matches the one on the VERT3A appliance. I am now able to select that domain's configuration to be used for my new domain. As seen here, WAMC will display an action status in green and red bars at the top of the screen. Once the domain creation is successfully completed, a green bar will appear, as the example shows. And now my teammate Yun will present Data Power Service Management with ITCAM. Slide 20, please.
Thank you, Phil. This is the start of the troubleshooting section for the ITCAM for SOA support. We covered the agenda earlier. This is just a review of what the topics are. The diagram here shows Data Power with the ITCAM SOA data collector that pulls the metric data from the WSM buffer. This is the interface that we'll be talking about in this part of the presentation. As mentioned earlier, the Data Power appliance has a schema file that's in the store directory under the schemas folder. There's a correction here again where the WSM.xsd should say schemas. This schema file documents the interface between Data Power and ITCAM for SOA. Each of the elements in the schema file has text that describes what the data is. While it's good to have this documentation, sometimes it's even more helpful to see the actual data for your transaction. So we'll go over a debug option that can be used to see the data that's pulled by the data collector. We'll cover debugging possible issues with the client ID value. One of those issues is addressed by using the ITCAM SOA 7.2 support. Slide 21, please. As we discussed, the dp-wsm-agent-append schema file provides documentation on the WSM data elements that are collected by ITCAM for SOA. We've captured a few of these elements, like the port, operation, and client ID. The port and operation are some of the values you'll see when viewing the metrics in the Tivoli Enterprise portal. The client ID is a value that Doreen will talk about later in this presentation. Slide 22, please. Here we cover the debug option that enables you to see the data pass between Data Power and the data collector. We wanted to make you aware of this debug option not because we expect you to use it. For certain type of interface issues that are reported to us, we may ask you to enable this option and collect these files for our review. We show here the commands to enable and disable the debug option. This can be enabled and disabled using a SSH session. With this debug option enabled, every time the data collector sends a pull request and there's data to be collected, there are files that are created or updated on Data Power in the temporary directory of the default domain. There's a set of these files for each domain, so you're going to see the domain name as part of the file name. So for every pull request where data is collected, the contents of these files are replaced. If there's no data to collect, then these files aren't updated. It'll contain the contents of the last pull request. The file that begins with event contains all the completed records that are collected from the last pull request. As you can see from the file extension, the data is in XML format, which makes reading the data a lot easier. We find this file to be the most useful to us. The file that begins with the formatter name takes the event file as input and formats this data based on the formatter that's specified in the data collector request. If there's not a formatter provided, then the .out file is not created. The file that begins with request contains the pull request from the data collector. Now, this debug option is really best used in a low-volume development environment, and we don't recommend it for production environments. This is because the data in the debug files files are replaced with every pull request when there's data collected. By default, the ITCAM SOA data collector sends a pull request every 10 seconds, which is pretty quick. There is a configuration option in the kd4.dpdcconfig.properties file where you can change this. You want to make it a longer period of time. In a high-volume transaction environment, it's difficult to capture the data for specific requests. So if you want to be able to capture data for a specific request or a specific service, it's best if you can control the data that's being captured. You can do this by isolating the service in a separate domain where you can control the traffic going to that service and to that domain, or you can change the pooling interval, like I discussed earlier, which will collect more data with every pull and allows more time to download the files before they're replaced with the next pull request. When you're done with this debug option, don't forget to disable it. As with any debug option, there's always the possibility that it can affect performance. slide 23, please. For our testing here in the lab, we use a simple web service proxy that uses the helloworld.wsl file. On the resources page, there's a link to a DeveloperWorks article where you can download this WSL file if you want to create your own little simple service to test with. We've provided the sample request that we use to capture the example debug files that we'll be showing you. We show the curl command that we use to send the request to our service. Slide 24, please. This shows an example of some of the contents of the events XML file. For simplicity, we're just going to show one transaction here, but there can be multiple transactions per file. You can see there's a transaction ID, which is the TID value, that helps you map this transaction to data in a data power log or to a probe if you have the probe enabled in data power. We show the port and operation that shows up in TEPS, the client ID data, as well as data for a few of the other elements like the request and response sizes. On the right, in the gray box, we added some of the corresponding schema elements so you can see how the data maps to the schema file in context. Slide 25, please. This shows an example of the formatted data when the formatter uses ITCAM SOA. The ITCAM SOA 7.1 data collector uses the ITCAM SOA formatter on the appliance in the store directory under the WSM-formatters folder. There's a style sheet named itcamsoa.xsl that data power uses to format the data. In this case, the output file is named itcamsoa-your-domain-name-out. This is the format of the data that the 7.1 data collector pulls. You can see two records for the transaction. The record that starts with the 1 is for the request, and the one that starts with 2 is for the response. The data is in comma-separated value format, and it looks similar to the data you see in the ITCAM for SOA metric logs. With the ITCAM SOA 7.2 support, the data collector does not pass in a formatter. In this case, since there's not a formatter, there's no .out debug file created. The data collector pulls the data that's in the events XML file. And the reason for this is to address a client ID issue, which Doreen will cover later. While the data pulled is in XML format, the data in the metric log doesn't change. It's still in the comma-separated values format. Slide 26, please. This shows an example of a request file sent to data power where the subscriber is ITCAM for SOA. You can see the name of the domain that the pull request is made for. The format set is set to ITCAM SOA, so data power will use the ITCAM SOA style sheet to format the output data. There's an identifier that starts with UUID. That's a value that you'll see in the ITCAM and the data power logs. And starting on slide 27, Doreen will talk to you about debugging client ID issues.
Thank you, Jan. So Jan included a client ID data element in her example, and the reason she did is we want to dive into that a little bit further as an example of how to use those debug files or how we use them when working with you. Typically, when you look at your services data in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you see the metric data aggregated by port and operation name, and you don't, by default, see where the web services requests are coming from. You don't see if the requests are coming from a user or a business partner. You don't see the origin of the request. But there is a way to track that with the Requester Identity Monitoring Configuration Workspace. That's quite a mouthful. In the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So in Tivoli, you can enable tracking where the web services requests come from. And for data power, that requester ID is called a client ID on the data power side. So the requester ID that you see in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal when you enable that feature is populated using this client ID element that Yun's been showing in her examples on the previous slides. The client ID value is set automatically for a web service proxy that has a AAA action in its processing policy. AAA stands for authentication and authorization. And in this slide, we show a little example of a processing policy there in gray. And the AAA action is that circle with the slash through it that's kind of highlighted in yellow there. Also, we're showing our little Hello World request coming in. In our configuration, we choose to use the value in that name element, that value of user 1, as our authentication ID. So a request coming into our Hello World service, the client ID value should be user 1 in this example, and that client ID value should show populated with that user 1 value in that events debug file that Yun was showing you. So if you've enabled the requester ID feature in the Tivoli Enterprise portal, but when you go to that workspace, you're not seeing any values in the requester ID column, the first thing to do is to look at your Data Power web service proxy and confirm that there is a AAA action in the processing rules. If there's not a AAA action, then the expectation you should have is that the client ID value will be empty because there's no action to populate it. If you review your processing policy in your service and you see the AAA action and you enable the debug features and look at the events file and see that the client ID data element has a value in it, just like it shows on this slide where client ID has user 1 filled in, then you can look over to the Tivoli side to see if there's some configuration that needs to change or to see if there are parsing errors in the log that might indicate where the problem is. So to look at those two things, we'll go to slide 28, please. Requester ID is not enabled by default in the Tivoli Enterprise portal. So if you look at your Data Power debug file and processing policy and things look correct there, then you can look at your Tivoli configuration and see if all the requester ID features have been enabled there. To enable requester ID collection, you do a take action in the Tivoli Enterprise portal, as shown in this little tiny window here on this slide. Once you do those, there are two take actions that you need to do that are described in the ITCAM documentation. If you do both of those take actions, it sets these values in a properties file called KD4 DC properties. So if we're working with you, we'll ask for a copy of this properties file and we'll make sure as one of our debug steps that the values look as shown on this slide. If that looks correct, then another step we'll take with you is to look at the operations log. When the ITCAM 7.1 agent was communicating with Data Power, it was using that comma-separated values format that Yun was describing when she was talking about what the pull request looks like and what the formatted file looks like. In our example, we've shown that very, very simple authentication ID of user 1, right? That's a single token, a very simple small value. But Data Power lets you do lots of different approaches for authenticating an incoming request. There's WS security options, there's certificate options, and some of them have a more complex authentication ID that comes out of that step than the simple user 1 value that we've shown. The authentication ID might be a certificate, or it might be an XML node set. It might be something that has multiple lines in the value. And in that case, since the ITCAM agent, the ITCAM data collector version 7.1 One was talking with data power in a comma-separated value format. There were parsing problems when there were multiple lines in the authentication ID. Now that the ITCAM for SOA 7.2 data collector is using an XML format and talking with data power, multi-line values like certificates or XML notesets are a lot easier to use, and we don't see the parsing errors that we saw with the 7.1 version of the software. So if you're finding that some of your data is not quite right for requester ID, consider going to the 7.2 data collector. Slide 29, please. So this is just a summary of what we talked about today. For data power monitoring, we talked about how the new 7.1 agent uses both XML management and SNMP now, and this fact was one of the main drivers for us revisiting data power monitoring and management with this presentation, because we used to use only SNMP techniques for debugging, collecting health statistics from data power, and now we use the XML management techniques that Phil described earlier in the presentation. For appliance management, we encourage you to try all the cool new features in WAMC 5 and look at that new Red Book that just came out in April that's in our resources section. It helps you debug a lot of common issues. And for services management, we talked about how you can see the content and the format of the data going from data power to the ITCAM for SOA data collector using a schema that describes the data elements and debug files that show the actual your actual data in context. Slide 30, please. This shows some of the online resources that you could use to supplement this presentation that describe specifically about the product sets that we talked about today. The ITCAM agent user's guide has been updated to point to the 7.1 version, and inside there, there's some best practices for that historical data collection. We just showed a real simple example of keeping 14 days of detailed data, but if you want to do something a little bit fancier, then you can look at these best practices to understand the impacts of, you know, on your storage for collecting more historical data. There's also a data power appliance best practices red book in here. The WAMC section has been updated to point to the version 5 information center. And there, here's that red book that we talked about that has all the troubleshooting tips in it. The WAMC team also wanted to point out the request for enhancement community that they have out there. If you have new features that you want to see in WAMC, you can submit them directly to IBM using this DeveloperWorks website, and we'd love to get your feedback on WAMC in that site. In the ITCAM for SOA section, it points to our last webcast. In case you didn't catch it last year, there are different troubleshooting tips there that still apply today. And there's a pointer to the Hello World Wizdle that we use a great deal here in our lab if you're just getting started with data power web service proxies and you're not ready to use one of your own business's services yet. This is a great way to get started. And on slide 31, there are other resources that are just general WebSphere resources for you. That first one points to the WebSphere support technical exchange site, and that's the page where you can filter to see all the data power WSTE presentations, including that really great one on troubleshooting data power. And then I'll turn it back over to David for slide 32.
Thank you, Yun, Doreen, and Phil, for a great presentation.
You have a question? Suresh, your line is open.
Yeah. Actually, I have posted a few questions in the chat window also. I was just typing with Garaj Kapoor. The few question I'm facing a few issues, like in the latency log page, I could not get any value on the tip. That is one issue on the data power agent. And on the server agent, I couldn't able to see the operational workflow for the WebSphere application. Like, I couldn't see any. It's throwing some error message.
Okay, hey Suresh, this is Doreen.
Mm-hmm.
Craig's the guy that I've worked with before on the latency log,
mm-hmm.
and like he was saying, he could see the latency, his log information on the server where the agent was running.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to get the log data up to that same server, but then there was so much data.
Mm-hmm.
That there wasn't enough latency data, like the data was rolling so fast that there wasn't latency data that could be picked up and shown in the portal. So I think he might have ended up, I'm not certain, he might have ended up, filtering the data that he sent to the server just to get the latency data. You know how... for a log target, you can set up event subscriptions,
mm-hmm.
by category. And so that might be one thing to consider, is maybe send just the latency data and see if that helps you see the data as a first step. For the operational... Hello, is that the same as the topology view?
Yes, exactly.
Suresh?
Yeah.
Okay. For that to work properly for a web service proxy, there has to be style sheets added to the web service proxy processing rules.
What's that?
By default, just out of the box, a web service proxy will send over port and operation information, just that metadata. But in order to follow the flow of a transaction through your system for that topology view,
mm-hmm.
there are three style sheets provided on the Data Power appliance called SOAP request, SOAP response, and SOAP error. And you put those three style sheets in your processing rules. You put SOAP request on the request rule, SOAP response on the response rule, and SOAP error on your error rule. And that adds an additional entry in the SOAP request header that kind of tracks the transaction as it hops through your infrastructure. And that's how the flow is tracked.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing to check, I think, might be whether those style sheets are part of the processing rules for your service.
Okay. So those three rules has to be checked in the data power first.
They're already on the appliance in
mm-hmm.
the store directory.
Mm-hmm.
So you just and somewhere in the ITCAM for SOA data collector in that install guide, there's a section called Configuring Processing Rules,
mm-hmm.
and it talks about those three style sheets. So all you do is add a transform action to your request rule, and then when you get prompted, you have to point to a style sheet. You just pick store SOAP request.xsl for the request rule and, add another transform to your response rule. And what you'll see if you turn the probe on a development box and look at the request as it's going through,
mm-hmm.
your service, you'll see in the SOAP header, you'll see an extra KD4 SOAP header with, I think it's 64-bit encoded value. And that's called a correlator that's just keeping track of where that request goes through the infrastructure.
Okay. Thanks. What's your mail ID? Is there, if I am facing some issue, I can send some mail to you so that you can help me in the future?
It's Yelton, Yelton, at us.ibm.com.
Okay. I got it.
On the first page of the
PDF. Yes, I got it. Thank you. I'll try out whatever you suggested, or I'll send out a mail. You can help me out how to follow the steps.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
And thanks, Craig, for your comments.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Craig, your line is open.
Thank you. Hey, hi, Doreen.
Hey.
Michael. Hey, I had a question back to between ITCAM for Webster Data Power 6.3 and 7.1. And I'm curious because you mentioned that you went away from SNMP polls to XML or SOAP queries. And but when we configure the agent instances, we still have to specify a polling port. And is that there for a reason, or is that just kind of a holdover?
Well, my first thought is the port for the XML management interface is configurable. You know that on Data Power, the XML management interface is disabled by default, and it's when you enable it, the default port is 5550, but
right.
It can be set to anything. So my first thought is it the port for the XML management interface that's being configured, or is it, you're saying it's labeled SNMP?
I believe so. I know there's another part where I put in the 5550.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think it's related to that.
Okay.
But I could send you an email with my question if there's no answer on this.
Okay. Yeah, Phil, I don't recall. We used, Craig, when Phil configured the ITCAM agent here in the lab, we just used a response file. We didn't use the GUI for it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm probably just not familiar with what the GUI looks like.
Yeah, Craig, if I can just ask you, all right, you said in the GUI you had to specify a port for SNMP polling for the BN 7.1 agent, is that right?
Yeah, and actually I used the command line, that, right.
Okay, yeah, I actually, in the response file, I don't recall having to do that. So that might be something that we need to follow up with you on.
Okay, thanks, though, Craig. Appreciate it.
The next question is from Suresh. Your line is open.
Hey, I have one more question. On the WAMC, actually our firmware's upgraded long back, and they didn't enable the secured option. So when we are trying to do a backup, it says we need to enable that secured option. Is there a way without that secured enable option, shall we do a backup?
No, I'm afraid not. That's one of the techniques that we put in the presentation because that's such a common question. Unfortunately, you have to enable that secure backup when you're initializing your appliance. So at the time you're initializing your appliance, maybe you're not that familiar with WAMC yet or how you're going to use the appliance, and so you don't realize that you might want to enable it.
Yeah.
And then when you go to use WAMC to manage the appliance, you go, oh, I wish that would have been enabled.
Yeah, the problem is right now they cannot do, they need to do a lot of other activities. They want to do that. The team is hesitant to do that. So is there a way, because actually I already have a PMR. They said they have for some investigation on that.
Okay, yeah, as far as I know, the secure backup has to be enabled at initialization, and if that hasn't been done, then you won't be able to use WAMC for secure backup Phil, is that correct as far as you understand?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that, Suresh, because that's so many of our customers get caught in that same situation.
Yeah. Since the data power management admins ask, they are using an XML script which doesn't require a secure option to take a backup void con, that tool can do that. That's
right. Yeah, I'm sorry, there's not a better answer for that one.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Chris. Your line is open.
Hi, Doreen. This is Chris Hanks. And the question I have for you is, in your presentation today, you covered monitoring memory usage from Data Power using the ITKM tooling and discussed how you can look at that to see whether your issue is either a trending issue or whether it was an issue where there was a spike in memory. My question is, if you do determine that it's either of those situations, does the tooling give you the capability to drill into where that memory is being utilized? You know, what particular services from the Data Power appliance are driving it up?
The ITKM agent, as far as I know, we don't pass the information on particular services' use of memory from Data Power over to the ITKM agent. So from the Tivoli portal, you can't drill down. From the Data Power side, there is a services memory usage page, and that troubleshooting presentation that I was talking about from August of last year talks a little bit about that services memory and how to look at it to try to do that specific kind of analysis. We also have a first failure data capture option to kind of do ongoing memory tracking kind of stuff in Data Power, so that if we have a memory issue, there's some data that will be captured in an error report at the time of the failure. What we often end up doing is, if we need to see details on where memory is being used, there's memory tracing that we can enable in Data Power when we're debugging a problem, and that shows our developers details on, you know, specific components within the product and what memory is being used.
Okay, so you really have to do some more advanced debugging from the Data Power side. There's nothing really exposed in the tooling that allows you to drill into that. That's what my question was.
The services management, the services memory page is available in the Data Power end user interface. So I think that's kind of a real time.
Right. Yeah, that's only going to give you a point in time. It's not going to give you...
Exactly, right. It won't show you a historical. So if the problem happened yesterday, then you won't be able to use it, especially like for a spike or something like that. If you're seeing a slow climb over time, then maybe that services memory would help you, you know, if the memory's at 18% on Monday and 25% on Tuesday and so forth, you know, then maybe that point-in-time data would help you out a little bit.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
At this time, there are no questions.
Okay, thank you. We do have a few questions in the group chat. The first one is, what is the difference between ITKM for SOAV Next and ITKM for SOAV7.2? Is ITKM a totally new product?
The names of the products I find pretty confusing. and like Yen said, the name just changed for some of the Tivoli products, too, to Smart Cloud Application Management or Performance Management. But ITKM for SOA 7.2 is the most recent version of the product. VNext is a term that we typically use in IBM to talk about the next release of the product. And I'm thinking that on the resources page for the presentation, One of the resources is a Developer Works Wiki, where they announce beta programs where customers can get a look at, you know, what's coming next in the next product, next version of the product. So vNext is just, in my experience, a general term where IBM's talking about what we're going to do in a future release of the product that hasn't even been maybe announced formally yet. So for ITCAM for Sella, 7.2 is the most current version. If you see things in that Developer Works forum about vNext, I would look at the date when they're talking about vNext. And if it was sometime in 2012, ITCAM 7.2 Data Collector was probably vNext because that was what was coming out at the end of 2012. If it's something that just came out, you know, today, then maybe it's a beta program for the next version of the product.
Okay, thank you. And we have another question that just came in. I am using an ITCAM for SOA 7.1. Do I need to upgrade to 7.2? How will it be helpful? What is the major fix between these two versions?
Yeah, so thank you, Suresh, for asking that. The only major fix that I'm aware of is that change from comma-separated value format between Data Power and the ITCAM for SOA Data Collector. The change from comma-separated value format to XML format. And the only thing that I've seen that impact is that requester ID function. So that's why we focused on that on the last couple slides in the presentation, why we talked about client ID so much. If you have processing rules with a AAA action in them, and you're not using something simple like we use today, you know, where the extract identity is just a simple token like user one, then you probably want to go to 7.2 because the parsing errors that we show in this presentation, let me see what slide, I think that was slide 28. Slide 29. Those parsing errors will cause you to lose some data, right? If the data collector can't parse the data coming from Data Power, it won't be able to add those metrics into the TEP. So I guess just look and see in your operations log on the data collector side, if you see those parsing errors, then you should consider upgrade. If you're not seeing those parsing errors, I don't know of any other big fix that would be an incentive to move up.
Okay, thank you for the answer. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Jan, Phil, and Doreen, for presenting today.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.